10. Now let's move into the Agriculture Office, where Dave Dickey is standing by with our pre-opening commodity market report. Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Monday morning, everyone. Midwest direct hog markets today are called weak to $1 per hundredweight lower as tight packer margins meet generally thin runs. Terminals are called mostly steady to 50 cents lower in what is a generally light volume test. Tops from $47.50 to $50 Peoria called steady today with a top price of $47.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, June 1st, negotiated swine purchases were 11,021 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $62.50 to $74. The weighted average was $69.74, a gain of 35 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $47.96 to $59. The weighted average was $56.61. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $9,034. The base price range was $62.50 to $76.50. The weighted average was $70.74, a loss of $2.49 from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $48.89 to $59, and the weighted average was $55.44. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. And Mike, we're really concerned that the Eastern Corn Belt, particularly right here in our own little backyard, didn't get all that much rain over the weekend.
Well, that would be a big concern, and it looks like though we still have chances for rain this week, today, tomorrow, in the form of scattered showers and a few thunderstorms, and then another chance for rain on Thursday with a big warm-up. If you do not get that rain at this in the next few days, that could spell big trouble because it looks like a big ridge of heat will be building across the Central Plains and into the Midwest. And again, if you don't have the moisture, stress will build rapidly across the area. Right now, it looks like over the weekend, portions of the Corn Belt did pick up a little bit better rain than was expected. That being an area from southern Wisconsin and southern Michigan into northern Indiana. Also, a pocket of rain fell in southwestern Indiana. That was a little bit more than expected. But generally, rain fell in the western Corn Belt and nearly 90% of the eastern Corn Belt Friday through Sunday. But totals were varied widely. Rainfall ranged from 1 to 3 inches from northeastern Missouri through eastern Iowa, northwestern Illinois to Wisconsin. Similar rainfall occurred from central Minnesota into southeastern North Dakota and northeastern South Dakota, with 1 to 2 inches of rain from central Michigan, far northeastern Indiana, southwestern Indiana, and southern and eastern Missouri. Rainfall of just a few hundredths of an inch to 3/4 of an inch was common elsewhere. The big winner as far as precipitation totals was Sisseton, South Dakota, with 3.42 inches, and Joplin, Missouri. They do not need the rain. They had 4.11 inches over the weekend. Conditions will be favorable for crops across most of the Midwest over the next 10 days, although, again, the eastern Midwest will be below average and temperatures a little warmer than usual, leading to some net drying. Periodic showers will occur to help prevent drying rates from becoming excessive, and that should keep the majority of summer crops in favorable conditions. But again, pockets of dryness are likely to continue. Drier pockets are in central and interior southeastern Illinois, a few central Indiana locations, and from parts of the Ohio south into most of Kentucky. The western Corn Belt precipitation will stay frequent and abundant, especially to the north. Now, the southeastern U.S. Growing areas did pick up some decent rains over the weekend, with Tropical Storm Barry bringing relief from drought to central and southeastern Georgia, the Florida Peninsula, and eastern South Carolina over the weekend, but portions of North Carolina and southern Virginia also received rain. Rainfall coverage for the southeast was 70%. The greatest rainfall occurred from a line east of Macon, Georgia to Valdosta, Georgia, and through southwestern South Carolina, where 2 to 4 inches common and local amounts approaching 6 inches. Most of eastern North Carolina and southern Virginia received 1 to 3 inches, but coverage was spotty from northern and western Georgia across Alabama and into Mississippi, where rain totals may have reached up to a half inch with a few local amounts of just over an inch and a quarter, or around an inch and a quarter, and northeastern Mississippi. Moisture from Tropical Storm Barry benefited the eastern areas of cotton and corn production region in Georgia, but little impact on the driest areas of the west and southwest. Production potentials in the areas that received rain were likely to increase a little for corn, but cuts will be significant due to excessive dryness during the pollination season. Daily showers will occur through the next couple weeks across the Delta and the Southeast. Most of the shower activity will be too random and light to counter evaporative losses. Temperatures heating up into the 90s more often, and the combination will lead to significant net drying and increased crop stress. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat opened at 5:10, up 2.5. Last trade up 2.5. At the Board of Trade, July wheat opened at 5:19¾, down 1. Last trade up 1¼. December 5:45, down 2. Last trade down 2.5. July corn opened at 3:85¼, down 1.5. Last trade down 3/4. December 3:81½, down 1.5. Last trade unchanged. July 2008, 4:05¾, down 1/4. Last trade up 1.5. July beans opened at 8:15½, down 2, last trade down 1.5. November, 8:45¼, down 2, last trade down 1¼. March, 8:60¾, up 1/4, last trade unchanged. July soybean meal opened at 2:20.70, down 70, last trade down 20. July soybean oil opened at 35.71, down 10, last trade unchanged. Joining us on the phone now to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Soybeans, the November variety, making new contract highs overnight, but not enough to help out the July, which still is short of its contract highs. Will July make new contract highs this week?
Oh, I suppose it could, Dave. I think that the market is getting rather overdone to the upside right now. I think they're going to need some help from, you know, palm oil and places like that to begin to try and run and pull this market higher, because it just feels a little bit heavy to us at this point. After making the run to new highs on the new crop months, I could actually see us back off just a little bit here near term. Weather seems to be something everybody wants to talk about today. I think the general consensus is the dry areas got just a little bit smaller over the weekend, but certainly we still need rain because it was very spotty throughout most of Indiana, Ohio, where we've had some extreme dryness out here. There were some areas that got some good rains. I mean, it's interesting going across the state of Indiana. You got 1.5 inches at Bloomington, 2 inches north of Fort Wayne, but there's lots of places in between that probably only got 1/10 or 2 is all they got. So enough to maybe help sustain things for a little bit, but we'd certainly like to see a good soaking rain move through the eastern Corn Belt.
And what will traders make of the fact that the ridge seems to be back in the forecast longer term?
Well, I'm reading kind of mixed feelings on that, that it's still going to be somewhat of a weak ridge that probably allows some moisture to still make its way across the Midwest. So I don't know that they're going to put too much emphasis on that today myself, Dave. I think you're going to end up with a mixed trade. We'll start probably a little bit lower out here, come back and trade to the plus, and then we'll see what the funds want to do with it from there.
So the calls for corn and then the beans a little lower?
Yeah. I'm going to go half to one lower in the corn, probably 1 to 2 lower in the beans, and then the locals will probably come back in and try and buy it, run it back up in the plus slightly, and we see who's there to play ball today. Because I think in general people feel like stuff looks a little bit better than what it did going away on Friday.
Turn your attention to the wheat, which in the pit made new contract highs on Friday, I believe, in the July, had made contract highs earlier in the composite overnight trade. What's the trade going to make of that?
Well, here again, that wheat looks very strong, but I still find that we've got soft red. We've got too much wheat out here. We'll get some support today from Egypt buying 180,000 soft red wheat. I find that $5 wheat is overvalued based on what we've got stocks of wheat out here, and early yield results, at least on some of the early stuff, seem to be pretty good. So I guess I'm a seller of wheat up here, Dave.
Seller of wheat at these prices. Turn your attention to the Merck. What do you see there, sir?
In the mercantile, you've got hogs, I think, a little overvalued near term. We probably see the lean index draw the June back down. We've got roughly 2 weeks left in the June. So I could see the June back off maybe to 73, in that 73 to 74 area. I don't see a major driver to turn us back higher near term, but I don't see anything to drive us significantly lower. So probably wouldn't be a real avid hedger right now. I think there's opportunities down the road for hog numbers to dry up a little bit and give us a little bit of a boost. And the cattle, it just seems like the cattle market are struggling to get their feet on the ground to really get any kind of a run going. So I tend to think cattle are going to continue this sideways to lower motion.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company. He joins us every Monday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. We podcast this particular broadcast every day. You can get it at WILLAG.org. Click on the red podcast link on the right navigation pane, and it has instructions where you can sign up for not just this program, but the opening market report, commodity week, and the closing market report. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. The time now, 9:01 Central Time.